Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
But I'll probably hate it.
All right, phones, as promised. Jeff in the car on the Patriots quarterback thing. Go ahead, Jeff.
You know, aside from the fact that I can't stand listening to Carlton ever when he calls, you know, it's easy to just sit there and run down a litany of freaking flyers that Bill Belichick took on quarterbacks in the last 20 years when he knew he had the starter that he was going to have anyway. So, I mean, that's just total junk just to even throw that out there, because clearly he wasn't searching for a quarterback in Brady's fifth year. But you know what? He got Castle in the seventh round, and you know what? Say what you want about Castle.
11-5.
Dude left. He went to Kansas City and won a freaking. He became a Pro Bowler.
Went to the Pro Bowl.
He just got
exactly.
hurt. He just got hurt, and he had injuries, and he didn't have a great career, you know, overall career, but he didn't do that bad. Okay, so to say that he's a complete bust is ridiculous. He was a seventh round pick who made the Pro Bowl. And, you know, I mean, obviously Garoppolo is the first guy they've ever really gone at high. He's a second-round pick. I think the highest pick they'd ever done before that was fourth-rounders. So, I mean, he's never gone after any legit quarterbacks. And now that he finally does, oh, Carlton's just like, well, you know, he sucked on all these other guys that he's taken in the eighth and ninth round for the last 20 years.
Okay, so you're overstating it a little bit because Kevin O'Connell was a third-round pick and Rohan Davey was a fourth-round pick, and they're not all eighth-round picks. So don't overplay your hand, caller. Because I largely agree with you. I think Belichick deserves credit for Matt Castle. He does. When he was here, he won 11 games, and he went to Kansas City and went to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Playing on a team that was nearly unbeaten from the year before. He had a lot of help. And look at all the big games from that year.
Then
they lost them.
Then he went to Kansas City without Belichick and still went to a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And if Garoppolo can play, then he has Brady and Garoppolo on his resume, which is all he needs, frankly. Because how many coaches out there develop two guys? How many?
Not many.
Did Walsh develop two guys or one?
One.
Did Lombardi develop two or one? I mean, so don't give me this crap. There's no one out there who's got two quarterbacks like that on their resume. That's all Bill needs.
Well,
but I do give him half a point for Castle, too. I do.
And maybe that's why Garoppolo matters to Bill. I mean, he knows the history of the game. He looked at, and again, to me, he doesn't need anything more. His legacy is sealed. But in his own mind, if he leaves Jimmy Garoppolo in the league and he can take some credit for that, like, you know, I just think it was his first crack at it, really. His first crack at finding Brady's replacement, and he nailed it, I think.
Here's Glenn in Natick. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing? The thing about it wasn't so much that they traded or you wanted Jimmy to land at a good spot in San Francisco. Why pick up the phone and say, hey, this is you take him for a second. Why not start the negotiation? Like, we'll trade him. What's your best offer? You know, it's like he could have had both worlds. Now, maybe he wouldn't have got what Cleveland was offering, but at least he would have gotten, you know, considerably more, maybe even like a deferred first for the following year or something like
Glenn,
that.
Glenn, you're so right. You know? It wasn't even a negotiation. As the trade deadline approached, all was quiet. That's when Belichick reconnected with Shanahan, offering Garoppolo in exchange for the Niners' second-round pick. Quote, it was almost too good to be true, says Shanahan's father, who received an immediate call from his son after the proposal was made. It took no more than 10 minutes for Kyle and GM John Lynch to decide to accept the offer. And that story the other day was portrayed just the same way. Like out of nowhere, here's Bill saying, you want Garoppolo? I'll take your second round pick. And that was it. It's like Bill said, I'll start with your first, and the Niners countered with the second, and then Bill had to settle for the second. No, that's where Bill started.
No, he wanted to make sure he made the deal with San Francisco.
Accepted. It's like coming with an offer for a house and them taking your first offer. You're like, damn it. I just outbid myself. That's what happened there. But from who's supposed to be the master, one step ahead of everybody. Unless the return really wasn't what it was about for him. It was getting Garoppolo out of there to a place where Garoppolo would succeed.
And to me, that's entirely what it was about.
Brad in Ipswich has a Red Sox thought. Hi, Brad.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
Good. Speak up, please.
Yeah. How you doing? You hear me?
Yes, go.
Okay. Do you guys hear any news about the Sox going after Mike Moustakas? And if so, where are they going to put Devin?
Okay. Pawtucket or on another team that can give you a reliever? But the Moustakas rumors were last week. Have you heard anything since then?
No, but I'll tell you, and Moustakas makes some money, too. I don't know what he ended up with in a one-year deal. I want to say it was like $12 million, might have been $8 million. But I just mentioned this quickly because there's a story on the Globe's website from Alex Speer, who, again, I think is pretty tuned in to how the Red Sox are thinking at the highest levels.
If you think Belichick and Garoppolo are naked texting at night, that's Speer and John Henry. Pants up. What's the abbreviation for texting with your pants off?
Oh, it's you have to ask me off the top of my head.
I'm sure there's a million of them. You just went through like eight of them.
NWP, not wearing pants.
Yeah.
Not wearing pants. Get me the stats. LOL. Eggplant emoji. Send. So the headline on the story says, why Red Sox are poised to spend beyond the highest luxury tax threshold. Okay, so like we've all been operating under the premise that they want to stay under that $237 million.
Yep.
Well, now they're ready to go over, it sounds like. And you know why? So
because they're about to go over it.
Well, also because they have to. It's the only way they can get a player because nobody wants their talent in the minor leagues. So the only way they get a player is to buy them.
Take on money.
Which is okay, I think. I mean, that's how I read it. The Red Sox are now willing to take on money. And I think they're willing to do it because they don't have the talent in the minor leagues to make a deal. These defensive metrics, I am NIFOC, so hot. Eggplant emoji. Send.
NIFOC?
Naked in front of computer.
Dan in Linfield, Grogan Bledsoe, who you got?
There is no bigger revisionist history of how people feel about any athlete in this state than Grogan. I was a 10-year-old kid when they were on strike in 80-81. They practiced at Walpole High. Grogan drove the biggest piece of crap car, and everyone lined up and booed him as he drove in and out of practice. People hated Steve Grogan around here, at least from 1980 to Tony Eason came. They hated Grogan. Now everyone looks back like they love Grogan. It's total revisionist history.
Oh, no.
He couldn't hold a candle to Drew Bledsoe. Well, that's crazy talk, Felger.
So listen, I wasn't here in 80, but, and I wasn't, well, I wasn't here in 85 either, but I followed it closely enough, and I did a book on the Patriots subsequently, so... Grogan's stock raised when you all got a whiff of Tony Eason.
Yeah, but that's what he said, too. Yeah. He said, not until Eason got here.
Right, so Eason got here, and Hannah says he should be wearing a skirt, and you got a whiff of the way Eason played, and then all of a sudden, the grittiness and the toughness of Grogan became...
legendary.
Yeah.
He's right, though. And look, Grogan himself would admit that. He was hated in the middle. Like, it's a famous line he said to Eason when Eason got here. They love you at the beginning, and they love you at the end. It's the middle that's tough. That's what he said to Easton, and he's right.
Dave in Rhode Island, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I've been a diehard Pats fan since 1976. I was 10 years old when I could still remember that Oakland Raiders playoff game, that debacle. But anyways, Steve Grogan played in an era with some bad ownership, some bad teams, played on the concrete that they called artificial turf, played in an era where they could kill the quarterback, mug the receivers. You can't compare quarterbacks from different eras. But I'll tell you one thing. That guy, I put him at number one. I know you're going to laugh at me. He's my favorite. He's my favorite.
So
because I think if he played for this coach, this organization in this era, I think he would be in the same discussion as the great quarterbacks now.
Okay. So I think you're, Dave, okay, enough. It's okay to say he's your favorite. You love the guy. But what, you're going to put him in the spread and have him throw 55 times a game like these guys do? Like, would you please?
No. Listen, the Brady's aptitude and precision and everything else at a young age is just...
This isn't... It's silly enough for me to just suppose Grogan and Bledsoe, just because I think Bledsoe was overrated and I've always, respected Grogan. That's a stretch for me to even bring that up. So please, don't get silly with Grogan and Brady. But, Grogan was at one time... the original Tom Brady, remember, it was Plunkett here who was the first overall pick and got the crap. He was that era's Drew Bledsoe. And here comes, I think Grogan was drafted like in the fifth round out of Kansas State or something. Like
K-State is right.
Sort of came out of nowhere and they dumped Plunkett because they had the next guy. So that was like a little Brady Bledsoe thing in the early 70s. Anyway, history lesson's over. Back to your phones after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Phone calls as promised. There's a couple open lines if you want to grab them. 617-779-0985. Jake in Andover. Go ahead, Jake.
So, I guess I got to be loud about this, like Mike from Wilmington, and get the point across. I get that we have the $2 million questions. Butler, we're never going to get it. Bill's a lockbox, probably not coming out. And Garoppolo, it happened. It sucks. But, dumb trade. Why are we not talking about why we traded Jacoby Brissett for a washed-up receiver like Philip Dorsett? Brissett proved himself in a win. Last season with a nutcase owner in Irsay, Frank, nothing in the tank, Gore, and no offensive line. He threw for over 3,000 yards and had a 2-to-1 TD to interception ratio. We had a second guy that was better than Brian Hoyer and this kid that we, Etling. Why the hell did we let him go? For garbage.
Fair second guess, Jake, but you know part of the answer. Belichick thought he'd be keeping Garoppolo. So why do I need another young quarterback here? So Belichick thought he'd be able to keep Garoppolo, so that makes Brissett expendable. Bill also didn't believe in him, which maybe Bill missed on that. Maybe Brissett's a little better than Bill gave him credit for. He was better than I gave him credit for. I thought he couldn't play. And then he went to Indy and actually, I mean, it wasn't great, but it's like...
Well, serviceable backup.
Didn't totally suck.
He belonged on the field, which I felt, you know, if you had asked me a year before, does Jacoby Brissett belong on an NFL field, I would tell you no. And so maybe we all underestimated, maybe Bill underestimated him. So yeah, I think you can second guess that trade, but it all stems from the fact that Bill thinks he's keeping Garoppolo, so the other guy's expendable.
That's, yeah, I mean, to me, that's what the only thing that just occurred to me. Is there any chance he traded Brissett in part so that it would solidify his reasons to keep Garoppolo?
Yes, so make it harder for Robert to get his way on. It's a good point.
Exactly. That, you know, well, I already traded Brissett, Robert. You want me to trade the other one too?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, we got to hold on to this kid. So I don't know. I mean, it just popped into my head as the caller was saying it. I still think it, you know, he had every intention of keeping Garoppolo. Anyone who says otherwise is, you know, doesn't want to believe the truth.
And by the way, so we're finding out the answer on Garoppolo, why he did it, because he liked him and wanted to set him up. The thing about Butler, if we don't find out, it's because there really is no reason. And I think it's entirely possible there was no real reason other than Bill got to the game and said, F this kid. Busting my balls for 3 years on the contract. He's not even that good anymore. Now he's taking 2 sick days to start the Super Bowl. F him. I'll win without him. And there is no reason. There's no missed curfew. There's no fight with the coach. There's no blowing pot in someone's face. There's no nothing. Nothing. There is nothing.
Well, that's exactly what I think that it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? There's no...
Wait, he blew pot in somebody's face?
I'm just saying. I mean, there's no what?
Do you know something, Felger?
No, not at all. I thought that was one of the rumors that he showed up drunk and high one night in the hotel room, right? And so Matt Patricia
but blowing it in Bill's face. I mean, that's a story.
Not Bill, Bill's son.
Yeah, or yeah, yes, right. Steven comes in for the bed check and he blows pot in his face. I mean, I totally made that up. I'm saying, like, for all of you out there who thinks there's a story, he slept with the coach's wife, blah, blah, blah. Like a million things. You come up with whatever you want. None of it's true. None of it. None of it. There is no reason. That's what makes it such a story.
Well, and that's the worst reason of all.
Why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl? No real reason. No real reason other than Bill just said, you know what? F this kid.
Yeah, Bill's ego.
He ain't on my team. I can't rely on this guy. We'll win it without him. F him. What if that's the reason? I think that is. And, you know, short of that story of him blowing pot in someone's face, then that's what I'm going to stick with. The Garoppolo thing, he didn't take the higher offer from Cleveland because he wanted to set the kid up. That we're finding out more and more by the day. And it's so fun reconstructing the stuff. Beadle and Zoe played this earlier. I think we should run it again. So we've played you a couple times Belichick's comment on Jimmy Garoppolo on that conference call where he's fawning, where you could, Murray likes to, you could feel the zipper unzipping there and the pants coming off as Bill is giving that soliloquy for Garoppolo.
Oh, I think he already had his hand down there.
He's gushing. He's gushing. He's fawning. The next day, he did a very rare phone interview here on 98.5 The Sports Hub for the Bill Belichick Foundation. He was promoting something. And so they followed up on the Garoppolo. So this was, I think, the very next day. And so it's fun deconstructing here because I think there's some clues in here. Go ahead.
Hey, real quick. I mean, I thought your comments on your conference call regarding the trade of Jimmy, you know, it was pretty in-depth into what you felt, you know, he was as a player and you know, how much time you spent with him. That was a unique, tough decision. Last one on that one. Fair to say?
Yeah,
First of all, stop for a second. Difficult. Was there a question there? You get Zoe's question.
Now, the end of it was fair to say.
Wasn't that typical, Zoe? Like a million mile way, all over the place, and then what? What was the question? But anyway, I'm sorry. I don't mean to pile on Zoe. That just sort of struck me.
That was a unique, tough decision. Last one on that one. Fair to say?
Very difficult. It was complex on a lot of levels.
So stop. When he says complex on a lot of levels, I mean, you know what I think that means.
Yeah, Robert.
Yeah, a lot of levels. Ownership level, player level.
Agent.
Yeah. But ownership, I think, you know, like that's just where my mind goes on a lot of levels. There were other levels. This wasn't a pure football decision. There were a lot of levels involved. Go ahead.
You know, in the end, just tried to do the best we could. And it's something that has kind of been ongoing. This isn't like this just happened, you know, creeped up on us yesterday. And wherever you look at it from, if you go back a couple of years, there are different snapshots you can take. And let's say each one of them, you have a little different perspective depending on what point in time you look at it from.
Like when we're coming off the field after the 2014 AFC title game in Denver and Brady couldn't tie his shoes and he sucked. That was a different snapshot than 2 years later when he wins the MVP and wins the Super Bowl. I mean, like that's how I sort of looked at
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah. He thought that Brady was on the way down when they drafted Garoppolo and Brady reversed field.
And that commentary I gave it with the Denver AFC title game, I'm just sort of projecting a little bit. I think the coaches were down on Brady after that game. As partly evidenced by the fact that they drafted a guy in the second round a couple months later and then said we all know Tom's age and contract situation.
I mean, remember, that was the game where he threw the ball down the sideline to Slater, and who was it that was wide open going across the middle?
Amendola, I think.
Was it Amendola? Yeah. That's my recollection, too. Keep going.
But anyway, the different snapshots in time. You know, when we drafted the guy, Brady wasn't playing so hot. You know, that's sort of how I read that.
Let's say each one of them, you have a little different perspective depending on what point in time you look at it from. And so in the end, this was kind of our last window, and so we had to make a decision, did what we felt was best for the football team. But, you know, I think Jimmy's a good quarterback, a great person. I think he's got a great career in front of him. I loved coaching him, enjoyed having him on our team. But this is the business side of football, and I think we all understand it when we get into it that there are certain business things that are going to take place, and that's just the way it is.
Okay, still some gushing in there, Murray.
I mean, he can't help himself. He just wants to put in love every time that he's talking about love.
Great player.
Love.
Great person. Loved coaching him. Just on and on.
Loves Jimmy B. Garoppolo. The B is for Belichick. It might as well be his son, I'm telling you. Like, seriously, I'm starting to wonder. This, like, was born of Belichick's rib or something. Jimmy Garoppolo sprouted from Belichick's side, for crying out loud. Now, look, I happen to agree with him on the player. But, like, that first day, he preempted it all. Jimmy's got a good – that one line. Jimmy's got a good coach. Since when does that matter? Since when did he didn't say that about Seymour when Seymour went out to Oakland or Mankins in Tampa?
Anyone ever?
Well, mostly because he
traded.
They're
all just cogs. They're pieces of meat. This kid, he can't say enough about.
When he traded Bledsoe, he said he's going to a good coach in Dick Geron or whoever the hell was coaching the team at that time. Whoever that was.
Yeah, no, because what he really wanted to say was, "Yep, I traded him to a hellhole."
Yeah.
In fact, same was true of Seymour. Same was true of Mankins.
Jamie Collins.
He buried them all. He did. He buried them all. Not this kid. He wants this guy to succeed. No two ways about it.
You're listening to Felger and Nass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Ooh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, wrap it up with your phones. As promised, here's Mike in Ashburnham. Hi, Michael.
Hi, guys. This is my second time calling. I can't believe you guys are hung up on this Belichick wanting to make Garoppolo happy. I'm sorry. It's got nothing to do with that and everything to do with he's tucking it to Brady. He's tucking it to Brady because the swan song for Brady was the only option was San Francisco. Every other team in California has a quarterback. If they were even going to consider dumping Brady, he would be going to San Francisco as like a swan song, like a Joe Montana thing when Montana went to Kansas City.
I hear you. So listen, Mike, even if that's right, I mean, I don't agree with you, but if that's right, you're still doing something that's not in the best interest of the team.
He didn't because Kraft told him to trade him. He's hitting two birds with one stone.
Got it.
He's saying, I don't care what he gets from San Francisco. He might have told him, I'll take a second round pick. He could have taken a third round pick. He didn't care.
Okay, I hear you. Now, see, I don't think that's it because a lot of people think that Belichick traded Garoppolo to San Francisco to block Brady from going to San Francisco. Brady didn't want to go to San Francisco. He wanted to stay here. You're missing the whole point. Brady did not want to finish his career with the Niners. He wanted to beat back Bill and finish his career with New England. So, no. I just don't. If San Fran had some crappy coach and was a horrible situation like Cleveland, I don't think Bill would have sent him there. Bill wanted to set the kid up. He wanted to take care of the kid.
I mean, I think this is about Bill taking care of himself. Like, Garoppolo's a vehicle to that. But Garoppolo playing well is a reflection on Bill. So as much as the caller says that he thinks it's about sticking it to Brady, I think it's about pumping up Bill even more. That's what I think. I think Bill was acting in Bill's best interest.
But I don't know how sending Garoppolo to San Francisco blocks Brady.
I mean, well, so he said once blocks.
Once Garoppolo's gone from here, Brady's not going anywhere. He's finished his career. You've guaranteed Brady's finishing his career here. So there's no blocking to be done.
The only way it would be sticking it to Brady, if you somehow think that Brady has this thing about his hometown, and so I'm going to go send another hero to his hometown, which honestly, I don't buy either, but maybe some people believe that. To me, this was all about Belichick pumping up himself for the future. If Jimmy does well, Bill looks good.
We've got Henry and Brockton on the Red Sox at the trade deadline. Hi, Henry.
Yeah, I have a question. He's reading online, the Red Sox are showing some interest in Jay Happ and the reliever from Detroit there, Frears or Fears. I was wondering what you thought of...
Anyone could possibly hear what you're saying.
Do you think the Red Sox are interested in Jay Happ?
Thank you. There's the translation.
Yeah, so Jay Happ, the left-handed pitcher, he's a starter. Sure. Yeah, I think it's bullpen help more than that, but maybe they are looking at it as a two-part move. They acquire Happ and they move one of their starters in the bullpen, like Price. Maybe that's the way they're going.
If they're
going
to do that, I want them to get cracking on it. Because we are in a glorified exhibition season. I mean, really. You're a billion games up on the wild card. You're now six up on the Yankees for the division. And the Yankee players are quitting. I know it's a little strong. But Gary Sanchez, they have to shut him down because he can't play hard. It's like, if you're going to move Pomerantz or Rodriguez or Price to the bullpen, I'd do it. I'd start doing it right now and start grooming them.
I mean, they're only a week from the deadline, so I think you're going to see it soon. Now, I'd be surprised if they trade for a starter. I don't think they're going down that road. I think they're going to trade for a reliever and then still do what they want to do with the starters. Maybe they'll surprise us. I don't know.
John in Boston. Hi, John. Hello, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Hey, do you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so I don't really care what his reasons are, but the ways in which Bill Belichick has sabotaged this franchise are disgraceful and unforgivable. I mean, Tom Brady's always just been looking out to protect his job. Who the hell wouldn't? I mean, and as far as Jimmy Garoppolo, he's going to play six games, get injured, and he's going to be a big nothing his first year. I'm just going to hang up and let you guys talk.
So that second part I just don't agree with. I mean, if Bill likes the player and he's 24, it's only smart for Belichick to want to try and groom that player and set it up for the future. That's how Robert Kraft would want him to handle every single situation at every single position. Bill is just doing his job. So if you don't like the player, you don't think he's going to last, well, that's fine. Bill felt otherwise. Bill thought the kid could play. And so Bill did everything right when it came to that. Now, once he was told that he couldn't keep Garoppolo, now we can talk. It's unforgivable for him not to get the highest offer. I mean, that's inexcusable. Again, any other coach, any other team, it's a fireable offense. He doesn't get fired because of all he's done. And he, you know, and all the equity he's built up, I don't think there's anything he could do that would warrant him being fired after all that he's done. But once he finds out he can't keep Garoppolo, to just sort of willfully knee-jerk trade him for a substandard package just to set the kid up, that's inexcusable.
Oh, yeah, it's egregious. I mean, it is. It's egregious. He put his own interests ahead of those of the team. I just think Bill's done it before. Like, I think he's acted that way for a good chunk of his tenure as Patriots coach. Now, this one happens to be worse because you are giving up, you know, whatever, 10 years of the future. But I think, you know, when Bill talks about the best interests of the team, he's really talking about himself.
I'm starting to wonder if he might have done this just more recently, too, with this year's draft, because there was reported interest with Lamar Jackson, right? Didn't Josh McDaniels work out personally with Josh McDaniels? And now haven't we found out that Bill isn't too hot on the fact that Josh McDaniels is back? And it felt like Brady and Kraft were the ones that actually brought McDaniels back into the fold. They need a quarterback for the future. This was a quarterback-rich draft. He went in the end of this first round, and instead they took Sony Michel, a pick I liked. But they went with a running back over a quarterback?
You know what? As Murray's talking, I don't rule that out.
But hold on. Didn't Brady like Lamar Jackson? Didn't Brady give him eggplant emoji or something? Yeah. You know, some nonsense?
He did. He kind of gave him, he gave him some lip service.
Maybe Brady did it because he knew McDaniels liked them.
Right. So, but Brady didn't get his way.
No, because Bill was controlling the draft board.
Surprisingly.
At least until the seventh round. The other thing is, you know, maybe it's another way for Bill to, you know, Bill says, okay, fine, you're going to make me trade Garoppolo. You think I'm going to take a quarterback in the first round now?
Just because I have to?
Right. Screw you. No. I will take one in the, Josh, you can take one in the seventh if you want. Why don't you go pick that big stiff out of LSU? And I don't know, maybe the kid can play. Who the hell knows? But seriously, I think that that's part of it. After being forced to trade Garoppolo, like all of a sudden he's going to say, yeah, I'll take a quarterback in the first round now. Go to hell. No chance.
Grant in Watertown. Hi, Grant.
Hey, Felger. You keep saying that the Browns offered the Texans first round pick, but that's just not backed up by the facts. Ian Rappaport reported that we stopped negotiating with the Browns because they were screwing around with the trade offers. And that's backed up by the fact that they allegedly were in on A.J. McCarron for a second until they couldn't send a fax. But then he was a free agent and they didn't offer him. And they also said that they were outbid Washington for Alex Smith. But so what? Washington's just taking a second best offer?
I don't get what those things have to do with the Patriots.
Because the Sashi Brown was fired because he couldn't land a quarterback, and these are three examples of where he says he had the best offer for a player but never landed them.
Yeah, so the Shanahan said that they just got a call out of the blue and offered a second-round pick, and that there was no other trade talk. There was
best offer.
So hold on. So Sashi Brown is lying when he says the Patriots wouldn't take their call. Sashi Brown is lying when he says that we had our second first-round pick on the table.
If you look at the evidence, he offered a second-round pick for A.J. McCarron, but then A.J. McCarron was a free agent. They didn't even offer him. And then
Grant, you're not answering the question directly. So the A.J. McCarron thing, I forget. Didn't they screw up the fax? Didn't they screw up, like, were they supposed to fax over the offer, and they didn't fax it over or something like that?
I don't remember.
He sort of alluded to it, but I glossed over it. But there was something there with the execution of how they offered it. So are Cleveland a bunch of bozos? Yep. Sashi Brown, a bozo? Sure, fine. I don't know. It's been reported now in four or five different places that Cleveland offered more than the San Francisco 49ers. The Shanahans have been on record as saying that Bill called out of the blue the day before the trade deadline and offered Garoppolo for a second-round pick. We called him back 10 minutes later, and that was the deal. So I don't know where you're getting your information, but it sure doesn't sound like Bill was shopping the pick or taking other calls or fielding other offers. Feel like he called San Francisco the day before the deadline and the deal was done. But you can believe what you want to believe if it makes you feel better.
I mean, that's even in that Jenny Vrentis story, where she says one thing is clear. Belichick did not squeeze every drop out of the asset. That's in the Jenny Vrentis story.
Yes.
I mean, she says it point blank. And then the other thing is, I looked this up earlier and I have it in front of me here. Terry Pluto wrote right after the Garoppolo deal, Terry Pluto of Cleveland, longtime columnist there, the Browns had multiple picks to offer and were willing to do it. They believed they could have easily offered more than the 49ers, period. Fact.
Well, no, I mean, maybe not fact, reported fact.
But Cleveland had more to offer.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a fact.
Yes. Okay? Cleveland had more to offer. So if there was some sort of bidding war, Cleveland would have won it.
We had Jay Glazer on at the Super Bowl who said that's actually standard operating procedure for Bill. He doesn't shop picks because he doesn't want a lot of let teams in. You can believe what you want to believe. It's okay if it makes you feel better. The vast majority of the reporting comes down on the fact that Bill just sort of steered Garoppolo to San Francisco and did not shop him and did not get the best offer and did not, you know, certainly he didn't work Cleveland off of San Francisco. Like, even if he doesn't want to send him to Cleveland, why not use Sashi Brown's stupidity against San Francisco? Get the most out of it. Did he do that? Did he weigh one offer off the other? Did he leverage the pick? Did he leverage different offers? Did he do any of that?
I mean, in retrospect, what did they give up for Trent Brown?
Maybe the Shanahans are lying, too. If it makes you feel better, you could call the Shanahans liars, too. Whatever makes the Patriots look bad, that person's lying. Let's just stick with that. Here's Sean in the car. Go ahead, Sean. What do you got?
Hey, Tony, I saw no more pocket car in Harvard. Yeah. But, hey.
I'm going to let him go.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Here's Pete and Marsh.
McDaniels doesn't make sense.
Pete.
Hello.
Yes, Pete Marshfield. You're on the air there, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I don't know if you saw this on Bleacher Report. They just reported that Patriots hired Brett Bielema.
Yes.
I just don't get it. When you got Josh McDaniels there, you're hiring this guy as the consultant.
No.
I just want to know what you guys thought.
He's hired there. It's the in the media guide, I think it says consultant to the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little asterisk, subhead ball washer. Chief ball washer. So this is Bill needs Bobos around, especially when he's getting triangulated down there where Brady's pulling Josh McDaniels off the plane. So Brady has his buffer and Kraft is choosing who the next quarterback's going to be. Bill's sort of on an island. So he's got to beef up the Bobo crew down there, especially since Mike Lombardi's gone and Shiano's gone, right?
Yeah, so, Shiano up to Ohio State.
So that's what it is.
He needs allies.
He needs someone down there to scrub the undercarriage, if you know what I mean.
You say ball washer, I would say ball deflator, but whatever. You get the same idea. Same similar concept.
Meanwhile, he's sending pornographic texts to Jimmy Garoppolo after every game last December out in San Francisco. Playing footsie, playing proverbial cyber footsie under the table with Garoppolo after games last December. We have actually uncovered some of those texts. You'll hear them next here in The Final Word.
Filger and Maz. Filger and Maz.
Ow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's The Final Word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And The Final Word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
No way, Jim.
No.
There'll be no one.
Nope,
no one.
I'll tell you, with these sunglasses on, I do want to break into like Ray Charles or something. Well,
my Cherie Moore, you want to do a little Stevie Wonder?
No. Way over town, that's good to me. Oh, yeah. I can't help it. It's too bright in here. That's why I'm wearing the sunglasses, in case you didn't know. All right, three things to get to here in The Final Word today. Bill Belichick, turns out he has been texting Jimmy Garoppolo
best
ever since he traded him for pennies on the dollar last year. He was trading his little binky. Jimmy Garoppolo, after wins in San Francisco, this we find out courtesy of Jenny Vrentis of MMQB.
Gucci game today, kiddo. Hit my line later, and we'll break down the D. Hard eyes emoji. Send. Told Kraft, get off my back about the trade. Obviously wanted best for you. 143-143. Hard eyes emoji. Send.
What's 143?
I love you.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
143 is I love you?
Oh, yeah. I-L-Y?
No.
Oh, no.
I love you. One word, four words, three words. I love you.
I get you.
Here's another one, Jimmy. Fam, that winning TD had me shake my head. Eggplant emoji. Wet emoji. In my opinion, already better than Brady. Laughing emoji. Send. Jimmy. Your play today makes me want to kiss on the lips. Kissing emoji. Send.
And kiss on the lips is what?
That is K-O-T-O.
Thank you.
Yeah. How would you put a tongue in there, Mari? Can you put a tongue on those lips?
How about another one, Jimmy, if you could?
I'm sorry, again, help me with, I know you translated before, but just the eggplant emoji means?
Boing.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so followed by the rain emoji?
Yeah, because it's moist.
It's... Go ahead, I got to go.
Oh, yeah. No, I picked up on that one.
No, I didn't.
You see Tom fumble and cost us the Super Bowl? Angry emoji. I don't know what to do without you. Angry emoji. Send. Sup, bae. In my opinion, best QB in the game. Happy to help whenever you need it, so ask me anything. Don't forget to be awesome. Bill. Yo, Jimmy. Watching tape of today's game, naked in front of computer. LOL. Laughing emoji. Just kidding, fam. Your play makes me so proud. Wanna trade pictures? Eggplant emoji.
So wait a minute. NIFOC is a legit abbreviation.
Yes, naked in front of computer.
And WTTP?
That is wanna trade pictures.
Eggplant emoji.
Yep.
Wanna trade pictures.
Wanna trade emojis. Pictures. I gotta be careful with that one. I never know when I might send that by accident.
You were an absolute savage today. That's my boy. Unlike Salty Tom, LOL. LYAAF. Heart emoji. Send. That's love you as a friend.
Thank you.
We also heard from Carlton in Norwell all things Bill Belichick and Jimmy Garoppolo today.
Who once called him Jimmy G 1-3? Or did he say Jimmy G Catastrophe? What was
it?
Yeah, Carlton, what was it?
Oh, it was Jimmy G 1-3. Of course, he didn't make it through six quarters. Remind Mike from Woburn that. But I wonder if Linda's starting to worry that Bill Belichick is changing more teams than just the New England Patriots. All right, so the question is, will Jimmy soar? Carlton says he starts 0-4. You know, Bill's quarterback legacy, Maz, it's already etched in stone. Here we go, guys. Keithan McCant, Eric Zier, Rohan Davey, Cliff Kingsbury, Matt Castle, Corey Bramlett, Matt Gutierrez, Kevin O'Connell, Brian Hoyer, Zach Robinson, Ryan Mallett, and Jacoby Brissett, and of course Jimmy G. One bust after another. One complete bust. And the only decent quarterback he's ever had, Bobby Greer, found him, and Bill fired him 2 weeks after they drafted Tom Brady. So Bill can't find a quarterback to save his life. And I can see when he was texting last year when Jimmy G scored 15 points against the Bears, or when Jimmy G beat the third-string Houston Texans quarterback, or when Jimmy G won when Blake Bortles had his worst game of the season and threw three interceptions, or when Jimmy G won against the Rams when they sat their entire first-string team because the game mattered not one iota to them. Jimmy's starting 0-4, guys, and man, oh, man, you'll realize Bill's capability in selecting quarterback.
That's some of his finest work, shot out of a cannon. So what's it like to deal with Carlton and Norwell when he calls? Well, we have a recording of intern Matt screening.
Oh, I love the idea.
Interesting.
Well, no, but that was the truth. They've missed the playoff twice in the last 20 years and tied for the division in the 2 years they didn't make it. So I'm sure the backup quarterback development was really hindering the process.
No, the reason they were in those two seasons because they had Bill.
Okay.
Well, he still won 5 Super Bowls, and he did develop Jimmy, and they won the 2 games when he was there. But no, he's terrible at developing quarterbacks.
Right. But why would they need to draft a high-end quarterback? Again, they've had Brady the whole time. They developed Castle and got a first-round pick for him. He only needed one guy, and they still got a first-round pick for him.
But, all right, well, they still got a first-round pick for Castle. Okay.
Second.
Okay, well, do you want to go on the air? All right. All right,
keep your radio down, no speakerphone. Thanks, Carlton.
Poor Matt.
Oh, you missed it, Jimmy. You missed it there, buddy.
Ooh. No, he's like the teacher on Charlie Brown there in the background. Okay, Carlton, right, whatever you say, buddy.
Well, Carlton, they did win the division twice when he wasn't playing. it's outstanding. All right. Felger and Maz.